He had been sitting against the back wall. Now he stood, hunched over by age and supported by canes, but with a spirit as strong and vital as it had ever been. The elder statesman, the father of our new democracy, the man whose birth name had been Rolihlahla, which some have translated simply into troublemaker. As he stood, all others sat, all others except Paul Redeka. The old man locked eyes on him, smiled with that warm squint so famous the world over, and said, "Molo Nlobo Wam, greetings, person of my region." He walked slowly over to Paul, turned to the governing body of South Africa, then lifted the pages from the Afrikaner's hand and said in a suddenly loud and youthful voice, "This plan will save our people." Then gesturing to Paul, he said, "This man will save our people." And then came that moment, the one that historians will probably debate until the subject fades from memory. He embraced the white Afrikaner. To anyone else, this was simply his signature bear hug, but to Paul Redeka, I know that the majority of psychobiographers continue to paint this man without a soul. That is the generally accepted notion. Paul Redeka, no feelings, no compassion, no heart. However, one of our most revered authors, Biko's old friend and biographer, postulates that Redeka was actually a deeply sensitive man. Too sensitive, in fact, for life in apartheid South Africa. He insists that Redeka's lifelong jihad against emotion was the only way to protect his sanity from the hatred and brutality he witnessed on a daily basis. Not much is known about Redeka's childhood, whether he even had parents or was raised by the state, whether he had friends or was ever loved in any way. Those who knew him from work were hard-pressed to remember witnessing any social interaction or even any physical act of warmth. The embrace by our nation's father, this genuine emotion, piercing his impenetrable shell.
Azania smiles sheepishly.
Perhaps this is all too sentimental. For all we know, he was a heartless monster. And the old man's embrace had absolutely no impact. But I can tell you that that was the last day anyone ever saw Paul Redeka. Even now, no one knows what really happened to him. That is when I stepped in. In those chaotic weeks when the Redeka plan was implemented throughout the country. It took some convincing, to say the least, but once I'd convinced them that I'd worked for many years with Paul Redeka and, more importantly, I understood his way of thinking better than anyone left alive in South Africa, how could they refuse? I worked on the retreat, then afterward during the consolidation months, and right up until the end of the war. At least they were appreciative of my services. Why else would they grant me such luxurious accommodations? Paul Redeka, an angel and a devil. Some hate him, some worship him. Me, I just pity him. If he is alive, somewhere out there, I sincerely hope he has found his peace.
After a parting embrace from my guest, I'm driven back to my ferry for the mainland. Security is tight as I sign out my entrance badge. The tall Afrikaner guard photographs me again. "Can't be too careful, man," he says, handing me the pen. "A lot of people out there want to send him to hell." I sign next to my name, under the heading of Robben Island Psychiatric Institution. Name of patient you're visiting? Paul Redeka.